All right, aloha and welcome to the Multifamily Mindset Podcast. Tyler Devereaux here with Ryan Katie. And man, y'all are going to want to put a seatbelt on, man, because you're going to learn a ton today. No pressure.
I'm ready.
I know you're ready, man. I know you are. I'm pumped to have you here. So thank you for taking the time to be here first off.
Grateful to be here.
Yeah, I know you are. I can feel that, man.
And I've envisioned for months that one day I'd be right here. So
I love that, dude. Yep. I love that. I wonder how many people do that.
I told Michaela when I first started listening to your guys' podcast, that I was like, I'm going to be on that one day.
I love it, dude. And the day has come.
Yes, sir.
And I'm pumped about it, dude. So let's talk about your story, bro. Let's talk about a little bit of your background. So Ryan is a student of ours here at the Multifamily Mindset and is doing big things. But I want to start before then. Like, tell me your background, what you've done in the past, how you grew up, what led you to, to being here.
Being right here, yeah. So grew up, was born in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay.
Moved to Florida when I was 5 years old. So I grew up in North Florida area, kind of by Jacksonville. Started working at a very young age. I was always wanting to make money. So I started working, mowing the lawns, doing all the things, blowing off roofs. Down in Florida, there's pine needles everywhere. And so you're always blowing people's roofs off. And then started working full-time when I was 16 years old. So didn't go to college, just went straight into, full-time work.
Yeah.
My dad.
At 16.
16.
So did you get your GED and just bounce, or did you not even get that?
Nope. I was homeschooled.
Okay.
So I did my schooling through a home correspondence, school. Got my, regular high school, diploma.
Yeah.
Just crushed it out in 3 years instead of the four. I mean, it's homeschool. You could do it at your own pace, type of thing. It's also why I was able to work earlier, because then I could do the school in the afternoon or nights, things like that.
Sick, dude.
And then started working for my dad. He owned a school fundraising, company.
School fundraising?
Yep. So in elementary, middle school, high school, when they're out selling the chocolate bars, gift wrap, things like that.
Cool.
My dad owned a company in Florida that did that. And so I started out as kind of a delivery boy, runaround guy, for him. And within 6 months, he knew that I had the rizzy to get out and do some sales, charisma. So
I, the rizzy. Yeah. I love that, dude.
Yeah, that's a new age word, I guess. Yeah. So.
The riz.
Yeah. So I started going out, but I'd walk the schools in high school, when I was selling. And I'm in there going to meet with, the coach, the band director, the principal.
Yeah.
And multiple times I'd get told I need to get back to class. And I'd be like, no, I don't go to school here. I'm here selling, stuff. So,
dude, I love it.
Looked like a 16-year-old. Yeah.
And you were 16 when you were doing that.
Yeah. So when I started going to the school side selling, I would have been 17 then.
Okay. Dude, I love it, man. So your dad saw it, put you out there. How many reps did he have in the business?
Only had two at that point.
Okay.
So then we...
That's a lot of trust for him, dude. Like, if you think about that, I had some charisma, but I don't know if people would have trusted me to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it kind of started as, I was out delivering, to the schools. And then dad was like, well, while you're there, go in and see this person, talk to this person, see if this person wants to, buy something. And so it evolved, through that.
But, sweet. And then where did you go from there?
Yes, we continued to grow that business. I became the president and owned it with my dad when I was 24, 25, at that point. My brother and I started another business together in the swag merch world.
Okay.
And that would have been 2011. So by the time I was 27, had a couple different, businesses, that were going. Grew it up. My dad, we sold the business in 2016.
Okay.
That moved me to Philly. So my dad retired at the time. I went with the company that, purchased our company in Philadelphia, moved there. That didn't work out the way it was supposed to in my head. Yeah. You know, I thought that was my set. There was a good amount of money that was coming from, you know, moving there and being there for, you know, several years, transitioning our sales team. Because by that time, we had about 30 people, you Jeez. Know, in our, you know, company that, you know, were transitioning over. And after a couple of years, that didn't quite go the path that it was supposed to.
Yeah. When did you know that it wasn't going to? Was it a couple of years in?
It was probably within the first year.
Okay.
So took our company. I'd always worked for myself, you know, and my dad. So never had worked for a, you know, a corporate, you know, company.
Yeah.
This company that bought us, large company, you know, you're sitting in there. Decisions are all made by board of directors. They all know more than us. Money, you know, people that are there that make decisions based on things that were very new to me as far as how they were, you know, looking at it. But within the first year, started to see that it was, you know, going south.
Yeah.
The second year into that, I had built up a pretty good name for myself in that world, the fundraising world, on the board of directors for that, you know, group association back then, and people trusted in me. And because of some of the things that were going on within that company, it started to hurt my personal reputation, and I didn't feel good about what I was representing.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I one day just made the decision before they even failed. I just made a decision. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I quit. Didn't really know exactly what, you know, I was going to do.
And you're how old at this point?
I would have been, I would have been 34 at this point.
So big decision.
34. But yeah, I didn't really know what the next path was, but I knew that what I wanted to be invested in and have my heart into, I needed to be confident, you know, in that. I needed to feel good.
Yeah, totally. So, especially for you to put your all into it, man. It's like, it has to.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then you went and you left there and you started working for...
Yep. So my brother and I still had... my brother and I had also sold off our swag merch company.
Okay.
To the same company that bought our, you know, fundraising company.
Oh, okay.
And so we knew things were starting to go down. They needed an out. So my brother and I, at that point, when I quit, bought that company back from them for $1.
For a dollar.
They needed to unload, you know, and so we were like, well, we're going to take it back.
Yeah.
So my brother and I took that back. He moved to Utah. We both were living in Philly. He wanted to get out to Utah. And I wanted to get back to the Midwest. I had been spending a lot of time in Minnesota. And I was like, I'm going to go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I got some friends there. Shout out to Mark and Lisa. Packed up, put myself in a U-Haul, moved to, you know, Minnesota, and just started working on the branding business, you know, Sweet. There.
So and that was how many years ago now then?
That would have been 2019.
Okay.
It was February 2019.
Yeah, so about four and a half something years ago.
Yeah, yep. So February 2019, I decided to move to Minnesota. Started out in the, you know, in that swag world. Wasn't an easy start trying to, you know, brand a whole new company, you know, up there in that world. Also was still, dealing with my own, was it a mistake that I quit, you know, that I left, you know, because when I moved there, I moved in and, lived with some friends for, you know, a few months.
Yeah.
I told them I'd be there for a couple weeks. And after about 3.5 months, they were like, Ryan,
it's time,
which is the best thing that, you know, really could have been done. Best thing they could have done, you know, for me. Yeah. So I rented a basement for a couple months from, you know, another friend, kept doing the thing, trying to rebuild, you know, the business, because my brother and I owned the business. We needed to put a lot of money into the business. He had a family, you know, with kids. I was just Ryan and his Ford truck.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, we put more money into that, I lived in my truck for about 3.5-4 months.
Dude, I don't know any of these, this side of the story. This is so intriguing for me to hear these things. So.
Yeah. It's part of my story that for a little while I was not okay talking about. Yeah. Like my family didn't know it. I would talk to my dad about it, tell him not to tell the rest of, you know, I'm one of 7 kids. Like,
yeah,
you know, don't, it's just not something that in the moment feels good.
Sure.
And part of mistakes or failures that I had made in the past, you know, you feel like those are on your shoulder and you're living in your truck because you're a loser. But I had a gym membership and I'd get up in the morning, work out, shower, get back in my truck and go sell. And then I had my little couple different parking spots that I'd park at night and was grateful to have. At that point, I was grateful to have a nice truck.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd sleep
in
it.
What a story, bro. What, I didn't know any of this side of the story. What a story, man.
Like, yeah.
It's crazy because you're so right, Mike. In the moment when you're going through it, you don't want. It's like you don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, even after.
It's still a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is that's the stuff that is so inspiring to people where it's like, man, actually, dude, like you can do things. Like you can, and you know, we'll tell more of your story as we continue to go. But it's like, man, you can continue to climb. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can continue to climb out.
Yeah.
As long as you stay focused on it. So yep. It's inspiring, bro. Thank you for sharing that side. So what led you to multifamily mindset? When did you hear about that? What were you looking for? Why was that something that you were even looking for?
Yeah. So after the time of deciding that I could no longer be in the truck, I mean, it's in Minnesota and wake up and there's ice all on the side of the truck.
Cold,
like, it's like, well, I need to do something different. So that's got an apartment and just started, you know, keeping on the grind of what I needed to be doing in the, you know, swag merch world. About a year after that, it made sense for my brother and I to part ways. I told him one day, I was like, I want to be your brother for life, not, you know, not business partners.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole COVID thing was a struggle for, you know, our business and that added stress. And I was like, we need to be brothers. So I, took a job with a company that I'm still, you know, with, and where it's a swag merch, you know, company.
Yeah, same
brand
industry.
Experience agency. Yep, but same industry.
Yeah.
So got into that. Same thing. I've moved up. I'm the director of sales, you know, and client success team over there, and got into multifamily about 3 years ago. I met this amazing woman. Michaela, at the apartment that I moved into. So it was a good thing I decided to get out of the truck.
Amen.
Yeah, met Michaela there. And just person that has goals. She wants everything. She wants to have a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Wants to be able to help, you know, people. And we just got talking about that through, you know, dating and what we wanted to do with goals. And we decided, and I have making good money at, you know, what I'm doing. I was like, we need to start doing something with this instead of just, you know, throwing it away, you know, in different areas. So we knew real estate was that avenue, you know, for us. I've always wanted to fix and flip homes. And I was like, that would just be fun. And I see people, you know, making money at it. So I was like, that's what we need to do. So I just started going down that path with her and sending her all these different, you know, properties in Minnesota that we could buy and flip. And so then started listening to some other people and about the one day flips and all these different avenues and started to realize that there's, you know, 8,000 channels that you could go down in, you know, in the real estate world. And then Michaela actually sent me, you know, on Instagram, forwarded me something she saw from MFM, Tyler Devereaux, standing on the beach in Hawaii
with a whiteboard.
Yeah, with a whiteboard and telling the story. And I think at that point, I mean, I remember you recorded that video years ago, right?
Yeah,
wasn't
it? 2020.
Yeah. And you were telling the story and you had said your age and what you had built. And I listened to it and I replied back to Michaela and I was like, I signed up for it.
Sweet.
And it literally was just like a little Instagram, you know, back and forth conversation, you know, with Michaela and I was like signed up for it. And that was for the one, you know, the first day.
Yeah. The free training.
Free training. So we go to that and within 30 minutes, they were like, if anybody is interested at this point, like get up or else they were going to talk for another 3 hours. And we were like, well, I don't need another 3 hours. You know, we knew we wanted to do it. So
yeah,
we went back, signed up.
For the 3 day workshop.
For the 3 day workshop.
Yeah.
Went to the 3 day workshop and we're sold within, you know, the first probably couple hours, you know, of it. And not even just sold on MFM and Tyler Devereaux and Ryan Woolley and all that.
Yeah.
It was the clear path that finally, like I cried that night with Michaela. Whew. Because I told her, I was like, I've had struggles, failures, zero money, debt, and have wanted to create a life of just the best human life. I mean, this life that we have here on earth, I believe we have this one life, and created getting everything out of it. Everybody has that opportunity. You have to figure that out, you know, for yourself. And I sat there and I told her, I was like, I believe fully in this path. And I know now where our retirement, being able to have time freedom to build generational wealth. I just knew that immediately.
That was the night of day one.
Yep.
Bro, I love that, man. I will tell you, Jim taught your class, right?
Yep.
I'll tell you I love that so much because I can relate to it so much. You know, like when I found out about multifamily, I believe that it just happened at the perfect time in my life when I needed it to happen. And then I sold myself on that, like literally, like you just, I sold myself on it every day, dude, because it had to be the vehicle, you know? So I could relate to that so much and the emotions behind it and it brings emotions because I'll tell you that like the vision creating the 3 day was to enhance people's belief, not necessarily in the company or our, you know, any of the things you mentioned, but it's to enhance the belief in their ability, themselves, and just the vehicle, which is multifamily. That's it. And so the fact that you felt that quick, that I love that, bro. Like that was the vision creating that thing.
Yeah.
So
I had told Michaela when we were sitting there, I was like, yeah, we could go buy a single family tomorrow. We could, you know, do the flip, you know, all that. I was like, yes, this is going to be, it is a harder path, but it is a much better path for building generational wealth.
Yeah.
Passively, from the, you know, GP side, any way you know, want to look at it.
Yeah.
And I think it was, and I'm grateful for you all. I never knew that that was an avenue. Yeah. I remember sitting there and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, amen.
These apartment buildings that are out here, like I thought just the richest people in the world were the only people that could get involved in that. And I have to start flipping single family homes. And then maybe in 40 years, I've built enough up to where I could, you know, do 40, you know, unit building. Like that was just the thought process.
Yes.
And then hearing and understanding that, no, you, Ryan, Katie, who have had failures in your life. Yes, you can do this and you can start today.
Yeah.
And you're not too old. You're not, haven't missed the boat. Like you can do it. And it was a mindset belief that I was like, I'm doing this.
That's so powerful, dude. That's so powerful. Like that clip right there. As you're saying it, I'm like, oh, this is like, that needs to be clipped and cut out because it is so powerful when that unlock happens where it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like I can. Like, okay, let's go. And then that's where Think Bigger comes into play, man. Like,
yes.
You know, you're wearing the Think Bigger hat. We mentioned this before we started, but like you always wear that hat.
I do. I wear this hat a lot.
And I love it. I love you for it. And I'll tell you that Think Bigger for me is so deep rooted in so many different things. And one of them is just like, literally thinking bigger of what's possible because I was the same way. It's like, dude, an apartment building? Nah. the wealthiest of the wealthiest, that's who owns them. I would have to do the same thing, flip, whatever. But I, even then, like it was even past my realm of possibility. I had never read a book about it, nothing. It's when I found out about it. Really, man, our stories, I can relate to you so much on it because it was this unlock for me in that moment when I needed it to be that unlock. It's huge.
Yeah. So. I believe things happen how they're supposed to happen, timing wise. You know, might not always seem like it's the right thing going on, you know, in your life, but just the timing of how this worked in my life. Sure. Would 20 years ago, I would have loved to have already been, you know, 20 years ahead.
Sure.
Yeah. But I am grateful for this time, this opportunity of my life now.
Yeah.
And also that timing of without Michaela to be there to encourage, tell me I can do it, be a hell of a partner in doing it. I mean, she does 90% of it, but
yeah, but yeah, that's
she's
huge.
She's a beast.
You're but very
that
lucky
timing
to have that.
With her of us doing that together. Couldn't have done it with anybody else in my life.
Yeah. I love that, bro. And I love that you take it, you take the time to actually mention that and bring that up and give those accolades where, you know, the well-deserved accolades there. Cause it's amazing what a partnership can do like that.
Mm-hmm.
And how you balance each other in the right ways, you know?
Yeah.
My wife, Brittany, she's not involved in the business, but she's involved in the business. She knows the name of every single team member we have. Nice. She knows names of students, tons of them, dude. Because I'll talk about them.
Yeah.
And she like will ask questions and I ask her for guidance all the time. But that what you said that stuck out was that she's like, you can do it. You got it.
Yeah.
That stuff's so powerful. In the beginning, bro, Brittany's very inquisitive. And so she would ask me questions and I wouldn't know how to explain it because I'm learning it, you know. But it would start to like knock on my confidence. And so I literally had to have this conversation. It's not what she was meaning to do. But I literally had to have this conversation of like, hey, I know you want to know about it. So do I. You know, like I'm fucking learning. So bear with me. Like, because when you groom me with questions, I know you're just asking me questions to learn. But like, it actually is like it's like hurting my confidence because I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
And then I just get frustrated. And so I was like, so for the next little bit, just ask me questions, just support, you know?
It's interesting. Michaela and I, when we started, you know, doing this. So in the last year, like we've had to learn with each other, even though we're both in it, how each other works. And there was definitely times to where, so she's the brains side of it. She's chemical engineer, math degree. And so she's an underwriting beast.
Yeah.
Knows the numbers. I'm a talker. I sell, I get in front of people. I sell the dream and then somebody needs to make sure the dream, even my, you know, other business, like there's people that
the operators
that, they're the ones that are good in those, you know, those seats. And so I focused on immediately on the investor relations side. And I was like, I know through my connections through this, like I can get people excited about, you know, this, you know, investment opportunity.
Yeah.
And so we would run into times where she would start asking me things on, you know, investment or, you know, capital raising. And have you learned this or that? Or like, how are you going to do this?
Yeah.
And I'd get frustrated because I'd be like, I don't really fucking know the real answer yet, but I'm figuring it out. We're doing it. You know, I'm spending time, you know, learning it and putting energy into that. But so we had to learn how to work with each other because we're in business now, you know, together.
Yeah.
And ultimately it was coming down to just strengths and weaknesses, focusing on, you know, what you're good at, what she's good at.
There's a lot of trust that goes into that, huh?
The biggest thing would be that is both of us one day sitting down and being like, we're going to make this happen and not kill each other through it. I was like, we have to trust in. I was like, you have to trust in my side of what I'm doing. And because also her approach to raising capital is different, you know, than mine is.
Totally.
And she hasn't been in sales. And so she brought this analytical side to it, which is amazing because she'll break it out in these steps.
Yep. She's an engineer.
Like, yeah. And then I'm like, all right, now I just need to, you know, add the Rizzy to, you know, each one of those side of it. So it was us learning to trust each other.
Yes. That was so important, bro.
Yeah.
So important to be able to, it's not just like, I think of it features and benefits. It's like, yeah, here's the feature, but let me explain the benefits behind this feature, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to paint the picture and display it and communicate in a way, that's a powerful thing to be able to do that. So the partnership is huge.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, a quick step back, just a thought I had.
Yeah.
I said earlier, like I didn't go to college. So after we did the 3-day, I took the certificate, you know, that we got. So like on doing the 1-day, they give you like a certificate, you know, of their... doing the 3-day, got, you know, certificate, my name.
I know
badges.
You have this, by the way. And I'm just telling you, when you sent this to me, I shared it in a whole team meeting, by the way.
It was my...
Yeah.
I had it framed. I put it up there. Our little name cards that we had on the thing. Bo Burrup was assigned to us as, you know, our person. So we, you know, had that in there. Because to me, that was my... I was like, this is my college. Mm. This is where I'm going to, you know, make my money from. This is better than any education I've had in 25 years previous, you know, business.
Yeah.
Like, it meant that much. So one, grateful for you all for that.
Yeah.
But to the path of what multifamily, you know, investing is, that piece there as somebody's college degree, you know, would be to them because they believe in, you know, being a doctor. It was like, no, that's me showing that I back and believe in multifamily real estate.
Absolutely, bro. I'm telling you, man, when you sent that over, I shared it with everybody because it lit me up.
Yeah,
I love that. Lit me up, man. Like more than I could even begin to tell you because that's like you envision yourself on this couch here. I envision people who take it like you took it and are grateful for it and then take it and run with it, man. And you've done exactly that. And it didn't happen overnight, right?
No.
You went to your first, the 3-day training. When was that?
October 2022.
And then tell me about getting into your first deal and some of the process of getting into your first deal.
Yeah. So October 2022 is when we, you know, did the 3-day, our fast track, you know, a couple weeks later in that.
Yep.
And we were like, we're going, you know. And
by the way, for those of you not doing the math, because you, depending on when you're listening to this, it's a year and 3 days later. It's where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
A year and 3 days later.
Wow. So we did that. We set a goal of being into our first property by the end of the year. We saw the peak partnership or the peak coming up and we'd seen that there was, if you had a deal, you know, before that, which would have been in February.
Yep.
And I was like, we wrote out our goals and our visions and man, we were going to have that and wanted it at least to be 100 units, you know, by then. By the first year, we had a goal of having, I think we, in our, when we wrote it down, it was like 400, you know, units.
Yeah.
And I say all that because the biggest thing I've learned in this last year is having grace with yourself, but also not using that grace as a crutch. It's taking it. So we have had some ups and downs, you know, of going through it.
Yeah.
Finding, you know, properties. So first thing we're out, you know, looking for properties. Deciding what area, you know, we want to be in. I would say that we probably went to too many areas right away.
Yep.
You know, decided that we were going to be in 5 or 6, you know, areas and live in Minnesota. But I was like, you know, I have connections in Florida. So I really want to, you know, connect in Florida and then all these other, you know, areas and spread ourselves probably too thin, you know, right away there. And then what changed really the most for us was us making the decision to spend money to go to Peak. We had kind of met Gibby's Capital team. So shout out for Eric, Brett, Megan, yeah. and the Gibby team.
Awesome.
But at peak, connected with them. And that's what the whole thing, you know, is for. Connected with them, built a relationship to where we believed and trusted, you know, in each other. And so...
How did you build that relationship there? Like, did you go in there strategically wanting to do that?
Not strategically wanting to build relationships.
But not necessarily with Gibby's.
Correct. Yeah. So I... for me to be in business partnership with people, I need to be able to connect, relate, be on the same, you know, path. Yeah. I like genuine people. Like you need to have a heart, you need to have a soul. You also need to have a fire. You know, so when we got there at peak, Eric is the only one I had, you know, met before. Immediately was, you know, drawn to Eric. He's young. He has, you know, stuff going for him. And I was like, I love that energy. I love
just
the
a
vibe.
Good person.
And he's just calm and real.
Yeah. That's a great way to put that, dude.
Yeah. He's just always, you know, that. And so then when we met him, I met Brett and Megan at, you know, Gibby's are at peak.
Yeah.
As well. And Michaela and I made a conscious effort to, after that first day, to be like, let's make sure we keep getting in front of them here. Like,
so smart.
Those are people we can be with. And I kept inserting myself into different ways to where Michaela at one point, she was like, they're going to think you're stalking them. Like, and I was like, well, I just want to make sure we're, you know, that they know who we are.
See, I just want to drill. I think it's such a huge actionable because there's lots of people at peak. And lots of people are trying to connect with lots of people, like everyone. I don't believe that's where the gold is. The gold is you meet a couple, you figure out who you resonate with, and then you double down on those.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. I love that you did that, man. Yeah. And Brett and Megan, same type of energy, like just great freaking people.
Yeah.
They were some of our first students in the network, like in the program ever.
Wow.
Ever. Those guys were.
Yeah.
And from the very beginning, they were like, they are. Because that's who they are. And I've loved them from the very beginning, man.
Yeah.
And so they're just great people. So you go to peak, you build that relationship, and then take me from there.
Yep. Go to peak, build that relationship. At that point, I don't even know if it was at peak or maybe the next week, they were raising a little bit of capital left on a deal up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, if you guys can, you know, get in, if you can, you know, raise some money, you can get in on the deal. And I was like, done. We got this.
Yeah.
And didn't end up completing and getting enough to, you know, raise on that, you know, property. So,
what were your biggest challenges there?
My own head, when I say that, just like I break it down and I like to look at things and bring it back to myself because in the end, I'm the only one that's in charge of myself or can make a decision for myself. So it was stuff in my own head that I had, you know, an issue with. Imposter syndrome. I was worried that people would think that all of a sudden I'm doing this real estate, you know, thing. And if all of a sudden you told somebody you were, you know, bought a fix and flip home, they'd be like, oh, cool, great, good for you.
Yeah.
You tell them that, hey, I've, you know, and this was 55 units, raising 55 units, you know, $100,000, you know, minimum investment, you know, you can get in. They look at you in a different, you know, a different way.
Yeah.
And so my problem was not going, thinking my network was bigger than it is or was. And just thinking that, oh, these people will, you know, love this and buy into it right away without putting a thought process and a plan behind how I'm going to sell it, what the pitch is. Just because I'm excited, you know, about it and got, you know, my little framed college degree on multifamily investing doesn't mean that they're, you know, going to be.
Yeah.
And so it was probably a lot of things. While we would have loved to have gotten into that, even on this last property that we are now in on, I am grateful for how things went,
yeah,
you know, with that. And so it's kind of like what I was saying earlier, like we had these goals, we were going to have one done, you know, within 3 months. If that would have happened, I actually don't think I'd be, have the understanding of the entire business at the level that I even do now. Mm. If we would have just instantly gone in and, you know, had one.
Bro.
Wouldn't have had the gratefulness, wouldn't have had the continued probably determination to keep crushing it. So I look back on the last 12 months. Michaela and I, after we closed on the, you know, property in Houston, looked at each other and I told her, I was like, might be behind our goals. I was like, and this was less than a year ago at that this point. I was like, so in 11 months, I said 11 months ago, we did not have any real estate in our name.
Yep.
I was like, 11 months later, I was like, we have 102 units, $10 million worth of, you know, real estate that we are, you know, GP on. And we brought in a bunch of investors mm-hmm. that are now also making money, and not just what we are getting, you know, out of it. We have investors that are, you know, in on it. Being able to bring people in and money that was sitting in their bank account getting 2%, and now they're on a path to where it's bettering their life. Like, my little single family flip would never have done that.
Yeah, bro, the impact, right?
Yeah.
Oh, love that perspective so much. It's so powerful that you look back and see it like that. It's like, I think it's a huge takeaway for people, because people want to go so fast. And that's a beautiful thing to go so fast, but when you go fast, you're also going to have struggles.
Yeah.
And that's okay, as long as you learn from the struggles, because those struggles, man, they will strengthen you.
Yeah. I mean, would I've loved to have gotten one into one right away and had 500, you know, units by now? Sure.
Yes.
But that wasn't the journey. And the journey is what I always try to grow from, understand what the purpose of the journey was.
Yeah. So powerful, bro. And I love that you also drill down and recognize that it's huge for investors. Like, I'll tell you that I just got like literally driving in, I was trying to find an email, but I saw two emails from passive investments that I'm a part of that were like distribution. And I'm like, every time I see those, bro, I'm like, lights me up every single time. Cause I passively invest in a lot of people's deals, mm-hmm. like not just my own, I invest in my own too, but in a lot of people's deals, and it helps me diversify. And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's a huge value.
As much as I didn't have an understanding of, you know, the industry and us being able to get in, create Peakless Capital and be, you know, in the multifamily arena, it's a investment class that majority of people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, about. Impossible. And I love the opportunity of being able to educate people that, just because you have a 401k doesn't mean, you know, sure, you're ahead of other people, but you could be way ahead. You could build some generational wealth.
Yeah.
By putting that into real estate.
That's it. A little bit of a different approach, man.
Yep.
So, question for you. Peakless Capital. Tell me that, why that's the name and what that means.
Yeah. And I appreciate you asking this question.
Yeah.
Peakless Capital is... I love the name. I'm in branding. And so I also wear Peaks Capital, you know, everywhere I go. So we started as M&R Investments, you know, a big thought process behind that. Michaela and Ryan, right? They were like, we need something. So
yeah,
we got to get our LLC formed and start it. M&R Investments. We wanted to play at that point. We were like, we're a couple doing this together. Like, I want people to, you know, see that. Did that for, you know, a few months, didn't love it, had no plan of, you know, changing it, but it just, you know, is what it was. Driving down the road, listening to your podcast with you and James McCabe.
Oh, yeah.
And James was talking about his goals or, you know, where he's going on different things. And either you or he said it in some way. And you were like, I love that. It's like this peakless mountain that you're, you know, going up.
Oh, bro.
And I literally, I went on my phone, looked up when, you know, if the domain was taken, and I was like, peakless capital. Hell yeah. I was like, no, I'm doing that. And bought the domain, you know, right then.
Oh, bro, that lights me up, man. Yeah.
I went home and told Michaela, because we just had built our website. We just had bought, you know, everything, M&R. We had done, you know, all these things. I went home and told Michaela, I was like, I think we should change our name.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? We're not doing all that. You know, she thinks of the process, you know, end of it. And I was like, listen to this. And I told her this story and she was like, love it. And I told her, I was like, I actually did this a couple of days ago when I bought the domain. I was like, but I didn't think that you would, you know, want to go down that. And she was like, I love it. It has a meaning. You know, there's a story, you know, that's with it. And to me, it's just multifamily investing is, I mean, it's peakless.
It's peakless, bro. It is peakless. I remember that. It was James who said it. Yeah. And I remember when he said it, literally the same thing like you said, I was like, oh shit, I love that, you know? Cause that's actually what I believe. I believe true happiness is continual progression, constant progression, always climbing, always growing. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's something with that that just breeds happiness, man.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah. Peakless capital, man. Want to ask you something, and we're probably, I don't know where we're at on time, but I get locked in. I don't, we've been in 45. Okay. I get locked in.
I can do this for hours.
Oh, me too. But that's the problem, dude. I was like, I just get locked in. But one thing you mentioned when we first, or before we started off camera, you said, you know, people told me that I couldn't or wouldn't achieve and do. Yeah. Tell me more about that.
You know, people ask, like I'm part of other masterminds and different things. Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, always ask like, what is your why? Right. And I think that is a great question.
Sure.
And a lot of people explain it with like I remember sitting in this mastermind group and like eight people went before me, you know, and they all had like this beautiful story. And I was like, one, I just want to make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
and then I said, and it's also, I don't know if I can say this, I was like, it's a middle finger at a bunch of people is my why. And that might sound shallow, but ultimately it's, I grew up in a, I grew up in a religious, very religious upbringing, and money was never taught as something that we needed.
Mm-hmm.
You just work, give away a bunch of the money. So money was what they needed, but it wasn't what, you know, was something that we were taught, you know, that was. It's the reason I didn't go to college, because didn't need a college, you know, degree, just, you know, do your thing. I struggled with that growing up, even as a young kid. I got married at a young age of 18. And after several years, you know, of that, and then being an adult and being out, you know, working and seeing the world, I just believed in myself that there's so much more opportunity, you know, out there. And so I made the decision to leave that church group at the time, which meant I was leaving everything. Mm. I walked away from my family, from my marriage, because that was the only way, that's the only path you had if you were gonna, you know, to leave. And when I did, I was told that I would never make it if I walked out. That I told that I would always have something following me and I would never go anywhere in life. And I love that they told me that because that confirmed in me that I needed to leave.
Yeah.
And so
great perspective.
I left and was just determined to always make it. And did well in business at a young age. I mean, when I moved to Philly, you know, through that, you know, opportunity, it was going to turn into, you know, good seven figures after a couple, you know, years.
Yeah.
And then when all of that falls, you know, apart, turned into zero, you know, figures, sleeping in your truck, you get on, it's pretty easy to start thinking, well, maybe they were right.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe I will always be a failure. Maybe I don't have, you know, what it takes. And in that mastermind, that same mastermind, Simon Leslie was there. And this was actually in, it was last November. Okay. And so we had been doing multifamily for, you know, a couple, like a month. And Simon Leslie was in there, extremely successful, you know, man. And walked in. I didn't even know exactly who he was, but we were just kind of grabbing coffee before we sat down. There was like 15 of us. And he asked what I do. And I told him, you know, I'm in multifamily, you know, real estate and investing. Didn't say anything about my other thing. I was like, because that's what we were there for. Mm-hmm. Like, told him, you know, all about it. We sit down. He starts going around. Every one of us are in a hot seat. And he's the one, you know, leading it and giving us, you know, feedback. And I asked him, I was like, so recently just started literally a couple weeks ago in real estate. Nobody knows me as, you know, being a, you know, multifamily real estate or, you know, bringing people into this investment world now, asking strangers, you know, for money.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't feel like what angle, what approach, if I can do it, you know, all that. And he looked at me and he looked around the room. And he was like, did you all hear that? He was like, all I heard was, I'm not good enough. Mm. And I just sat there and I was like, well, shit. That's not what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But that is what was coming up, you know, from me. So that would have been like 11 months ago. And I just was even all the more determined after that. I told Simon those little words, like, did a lot, you know, for me, because I'd come off some failures, wasn't a few years before that things weren't, you know, great. But I was determined, you know,
push through it
to make it happen. Yeah. So my part of my why, you know, as it's evolved is I want to be able to show to people. So a better way of saying a middle finger to people is I want to show people that you can have failures, you can have setbacks, get up off your ass and you just keep going, keep going, keep going.
That's
not it. Dead till you're dead.
That's it, dude. And that's the part of your story, man, that's going to resonate with lots of people because so many people need to hear it. And it's powerful. And so you're awesome for sharing it. That's and it's not shallow, bro. Like, I believe that your why continues to transform, right? Mm-hmm. Where sometimes you have a deep-rooted why, but dude, you have to figure out what motivates you. It's like Kobe Bryant, right? Like Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, and they would nitpick these little things that would make them just, that would motivate them. Make stories up even to motivate them. I am no different. Like right now, I promise you, there are people that I am excited to give the middle finger to. Andrew, you're actually one of them. I'm excited to, no, just kidding. No, but there are in my life right now where I'm like, you just wait. Hold my beer. Just wait.
Yeah.
You know? Like for real though.
Yep.
And that motivates you to certain. So you got to find what motivates you and push, bro. That's what you've done, man. You're an inspiration, dude. And it has been fun to see the journey. And I love that you told me that this is something you manifested. You know, something you're like, man, I'm going to be. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's part of the, I just felt like it would be part of the journey process. Yeah.
And it's only the beginning, bro. It is only the beginning, like, and that's what's fun.
Yeah, and thank you for that. Yes, we're just getting, you know, started.
Yeah.
The momentum, you know, is growing and growing.
So, man, as we wrap up, is there any I feel like you just said it, but any last bits of advice or somebody listening to this that had struggled with that same, I don't know if I'm good enough. Any advice that you would get them on how you push through that?
Yeah, for me, it has been getting around people that have that, you know, same mindset.
Yeah.
If you need to recognize what it is. And for me, like I look back and I know where that feeling of not good enough, you know, came from. And I probably in a couple years prior started to maybe think that I'm too old. I've passed that, you know, peak point. I'll live a good life, you know, but not, you know, crush the fucking goals that, you know, I want because of just kind of accepting, just half-assing it, you know, really. So I guess if I could say anything, it would be just figure out what those, you know, where those thoughts are, address them, process them.
Attack them.
And sometimes like attacking them, like even for me in this, you know, situation is I'm going to attack them by going extra hard, like working harder, putting in more time, learning, you know, more things, being a part of, you know, understanding investments, you know, and every way, you know, that I possibly can.
Totally.
And just attacking the hell out of it. And the beautiful part about that is while doing that, I'm able to help other people invest and grow and do the same. Like that is, it's a side benefit that I actually didn't appreciate or understand in the beginning.
Mm.
Like I was like, fuck yeah, this is going to be great for Michaela and I.
Yeah.
But the benefit of seeing that we're able to help other people grow and change their lives, like earn, have this investment grow for them over the years, that it will do something different for them that their current journey was not going to allow.
Yes.
It's pretty freaking cool.
So bitching, bro.
Yeah.
The impact. That's what I love what you said. That my single family flip. A single family flip wouldn't have that impact.
Yeah.
That impact's huge, bro. Love you for sharing that, man. I appreciate you for being here and appreciate you for pushing through everything that you've pushed through to be here.
Thank you.
No, grateful appreciate to be here. You, man. Listen, where can people find you first off before I wrap this up? Where should they find you at?
Oh, another quick story. So you can find me at on all social media as the King of Capital Raising.
King of Capital Raising.
So I just recently switched to that. And it was because I am so big on mindset.
Mm.
And after the last property that we, you know, raised on, did well, was not the king, you know, of it. And I was like, I am gonna fucking be the king of raising capital.
Let's go.
Went to Instagram and I was like, at the King of Capital Raising and all that was available. So at the King of Capital Raising.
Love it, bro. We'll put your social links in the description. That's freaking love that, dude. I wasn't, but I will be. And now love that, dude. Love it. Y'all listen, if you found value, which I know you found value, first off, go follow and connect with Ryan and go share this episode, man. People need to hear the story. They need to hear the journey. So go share it. And man, leave a review, whatever down below, things you know you're supposed to do. And Ryan, thanks so much for being here, bro, once again.
Thank you.
And all y'all out there, live always with aloha. Peace.